We have Reflections of a Federationist. And to present this topic and title, here is our first vice president, Pam Schnurr.
Okay. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Why I'm a Federationist. I always hear people tell you how the NFB has changed their lives. Well, it definitely changed mine. I first joined the Federation in 1974. Mark Maurer was the state president at the time. He came to our home in French Lick, Indiana. We formed a small chapter. Although we were small in numbers, we were young and energetic. I stayed involved until we moved to Indianapolis when I was going through a lot of personal problems at that time and was kind of lost. An old friend of mine, Karen Hamrick, invited me to attend the chapter meeting in Indianapolis. The state president at that time told me I should go to a national convention. So I did that. I had two kids at home, and I'm like, okay, I don't know about going there, but I did it. And at that convention, my life changed. At that convention, I met the love of my life, Tony Schnurr. It just happened. It just happened to be his first convention also. We met at the Tuesday night dance in Kansas City, Missouri. I was looking for someone from Indiana when I ran into Tony. We danced, and the rest is history. 32 years worth. I also met Ron and Jean Brown at that national convention. Some of you may know that Ron Brown has such an influence in my life. I was going to college at the time to become a social worker. I had started working with Paul Howard and Ron Brown at their vending locations. One day, Ron was asking me why I wanted to be a social worker. He went on to explain that you're going to be pushing papers and you're going to be hardly making any money. I said the reason I wanted to be a social worker was I wanted to help people. And he told me, you will be able to help people in the NFB. He also said, you should go to become a vendor. You love business. Go to Chicago for 6 months. Then I'd just been married for like 3 months, guys. And I had two kids. And my poor husband, I left him with my two kids and an ex-mother-in-law. And he still stayed. So I think he's a keeper. This was definitely a changing point in my life. I have to tell you that Ron, you were right. I don't say that to men very often, so there you go. The Federation opened so many doors for me. I have traveled all over the country. I have met so many wonderful people. I almost everyone from different states. I feel very honored to say that I have formed friendships with the Maurers and Dr. and Pat Maurer. They're more than my friend. They're just the greatest people ever. But anyway, so get to know them. And Dr. Schroeder and the Gashels and Nikki Gakos, just to name a few, and everybody in this room. So I have visited the NFB centers, every one of them, and been to the National Center several times, going to conferences and leadership seminars, and of course, Washington Seminar. It has not been enough to make a believer out of you. A few years ago, we called Dr. Maurer about situation in the post office. There were five blind vendors, and none of us were making any money, not enough to live on. I think Ron was making $8 a day. We were kind of a joke at the NABM because they would ask us, how many spirals do you have? So it was kind of rough on us there. And then Dr. Maurer got us a lawyer, Scott Labar, and we fought that case and we won. So then there was one building and one vendor. So that has made a big difference for a lot of people. As a blind vendor, I have served as chairperson of the committee over the last 28 years. One of the years, one time I was talking to our division leader, Letty, she was our head of the BEP program, and she was telling me that she wanted what was best for blind people, although she really, she didn't know what that was. But anyway, I told her, I said, well, you might, and you get paid for what you do. It's my passion. And so, working as a blind vendor gave me the opportunity to donate my afternoons to the NFB. So that fulfilled my passion of helping other blind people. I got to call, one day saying that there, from our director, one of our other directors called us one day, and he wanted to tell us about a girl from Germany that wanted to come to the United States. And of course, Tony and I took this girl in for the year. And he told me later that he was kind of a setup. He knew Tony and I would probably take her. I was like, oh, wow. Working with the state legislator, I've also tried to keep up with all of the Washington appointments several times, answered the NFB phone. This line gave us a chance to meet newly blinded people. There was a wonderful VR counselor named Kathy Ashley that would would help have people call me if they fell through the cracks. Her hands would be tied, but she knew we would figure out a way to help. One of my favorite projects has always been the Clothe a Child program. We named this program after Joe Money, who was once a recipient of this program. My husband will tell you that I use any excuse to go shopping, and he's not wrong. I always love talking to the kids. Tony and I always donate extra money to buy them a toy and take them to lunch. So far, we've been lucky. They haven't asked to go to Ruth Crisp or Capital Grills. It's usually McDonald's. But anyway, many of you guys know I'm really shy and I don't really like giving speeches. Can you tell? I was so scared at first when I gave a treasurer's report, my knees would knock so hard it was bad. And I'm really not a whole lot better, but I can give them when I have to. Not that I do a good job as a lot of them. But anyway, okay. Some of my other favorite events that I have attended, of course, are the national conventions and all of our national conventions since. I love our state convention. Most of you know I served as a coordinator for state conventions for many years. One state convention was very always lively and full of energy and enthusiasm. I always enjoy Friday night entertainment. One of my favorite memories was at one of the NFB dances when Tony and Gene Brown took over the microphone. Oh, yeah. Ron and I were like, who are those people? They were Jekyll and Hyde. We couldn't stop laughing. So it was one of a really fun night. I also enjoyed some of my first experiences with advocacy. Many of you might remember a play that we put on at the state convention. I've written two plays, and the first one was about a real case. The play was about a guy that wanted to have Braille in his vending training class. Ron Brown and I were awesome, if I do say so myself. We won that case, and I will never forget it. I remember telling the state rep that if they did not give the student Braille, I would go get all the blind people I know, and we would march around that Ivy Tech school. He said, is that a threat? I said, no, it's a promise. Ronnie Cochran, as we called Ron then, did a great job. Our head of blind services called me Miss Blind of Indiana after that. I'm sure he meant that in such a nice way. Right, right. Some of my other favorite advocacy cases were when we tried to get our people into the NFB centers. We did our homework. Ron and I did all the details on the finances and everything, and we presented our case, and we won that, and now people don't even have to fight that anymore. So they can go if they want. I also remember once a great wisdom of our state, politicians, yeah, that was wisdom, all right. They thought it would be a great idea to have the blind agency and the deaf agency. We knew that would be really bad for our program, so we set up and met with the blindness community. they also, let's see, we went into the room, and I can never forget the way everybody, all the blind people were like talking and saying, there's nobody here, there's nobody here. Well, the deaf people were there, we just couldn't hear them. So I kind of guess we proved our point. That's not good. So, all right, then. Thanks, I wanted to say thanks for so many Federationists that encouraged me throughout my life. I can't name all of you, but so many of you were there for me when I lost my family members, and you guys even came to Miami. Can't tell you how much that meant to me. And an NFB. Okay, back to the NFB. I have been about every officer there is in the affiliate and chapters over the last 32 years. It's really longer than that, but I don't want to tell you that I'm that old, so. I have served on the National Association of Blind Merchants Board for 28 years. When I look back over my life, my one wish is that I have at least helped one person to be the best that they can be. I have served so many, I have received so much more than I have given. I can't begin to tell you what an honor it has been to serve with this Ron Brown and this state board and all of you. I have loved the work and fulfilled my duties, but most of all, I love my Federation family. Yeah.
Excellent. Let's have a door prize for that wonderful presentation. Yeah.
Hollingsworth.
Oh, yeah. Tammy, go.
Thank you. Hi. Okay, I just wanted to take a moment before you guys escape to give you a little bit of a rundown for this afternoon. I know we may hear from Ron for a second, but I just want to jump in here real quick. Please, you guys, attend the afternoon sessions. What we're going to do in just a few minutes after Ron speaks, we're going to break up into three sessions. Two and two, I guess. The first one is independent information gathering. That's all kinds of resources, simple and not so simple, to gain information as a blind person. The other one is if you are a parent of a blind child, or if you are blind yourself and parenting or thinking about it, please show up. We'd love to have you. That's the parent division meeting. Even if you don't belong to that division, that doesn't mean you can't come in and enjoy that activity. And we'd love to have you come in and do that. And then the third session is some of you have signed up for a focus group with Taxio Access. I just want to let you know that focus group will begin, and it will end a little after the second session begins, but you won't miss much of the second session. Then we'll have a break, and at 3:15, the second group starts. Technology for Independent Navigation is going to be in this room again. It's again, technology and resources to navigate as a blind person. I'm not going to tell you everything that's being presented. I just want you to come and enjoy it if you're into resources to be able to travel independently. The second session is Growing Indiana, and it's about chapter development and membership development in the NFB. So we'd love to have you come to that as well. So please stick around, participate in the sessions. And after that, at 4 o'clock, we're all going to come right back here, and we're going to get a Philosophy 101 from Dr. Maurer. So please stay and enjoy this. It's a different format than we've done before, so we definitely want everyone to participate and let us know how you like it. No, it's at 7. I don't know why that was that way. Probably me. It's at 7, guys. Thank you. 7 p.m., not 8 p.m. 7 p.m. is the banquet. Actually, right. I'm seeing 7 o'clock on mine. So I'm reading Braille, and it says 7.
7 o'clock. Yeah. Let's go. We got to move. Okay. In 1973, most of you all know my story, and those of you who are new do not, but I was shot in the face and blinded. I was coming home from a basketball game, and I lost my vision. I found vision through the National Federation of the Blind so many years ago. As a young African-American male in Gary, Indiana, I had no clue of what blindness or blind people could do. I had no clue simply because no one in my family had ever been blind. No one in my immediate surroundings had ever been blind. I never met a blind person. The only thing I knew about blindness was the Mr. Magoo factor. And at that time, he was a bungling blind idiot. The other thing I knew was that blind people sold pencils and papers on the newsstands and they begged for change. And I thought, my life is over. My life is over. I knew I didn't want to be a bungling blind idiot. And I also knew I didn't want to sell pencils and papers and beg for change. These things I knew I did not want to do. Fortunately for me, at an early age, I found the National Federation of the Blind. The reason I found the National Federation of the Blind was because I met people like Paul Hauer, who was very instrumental in my achieving some independence back, going back to high school as a blind person. I have to say the first person, my first orientation and mobility instructor, though, was my mom. My mom went to my neighbor's house and borrowed a little black cane, and she brought it to me, and she said, here, you want to go to school? Use this, and if you get lost, just ask someone. So I did. If you fast forwarded this to today, that's what I teach, orientation, mobility, structured discovery learning, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it. It's about problem solving. That's what she told me to do. It's about experience in the world by getting out there doing it. It's about role modeling. Paul Howard and those people who I were meeting were my role models. And it's about use of non-visual cues. Those are the things that I learned to use by clicking my tongue and sliding my feet and doing things that were totally wrong for a blind person, but they taught me a lot. So I came into the organization and I met a lot of people like Joe Money. A lot of you guys know Joe Money. He was very strong Federationist. But I also met my mentor, our immediate past president and his wife, who were very young at the time, and it was state president of our organization, Dr. Mark Maurer and Pat Maurer. I met them at a time in my life when I was just going to college and just learning how to be a blind person, not a good blind person at that time, because I was trying to pass. And some of you all might know what passing is when you try to get around the school or get around life without using a cane and thinking that you can that you're sighted and that no one knows you're blind. The only person that knew I was blind on the campus of Ball State University, everybody knew. The only person that didn't know was me. Exactly. Exactly. So I started there, and I started getting around, and then all of a sudden, Joe Money and Dr. Maurer and Mrs. Maurer came to the university, and they were getting around with their long white canes, and they taught, and they came and talked to us and say, hey, how would you guys like to start a student division? This is in 1975. I started with them in 1975, and we say, sure, we'll get in the student division. What do we have to do? Joe Money says, here, we're going to have a fundraiser. You guys sell this candy. So we as blind, hungry students, we took the candy and ate the candy. I told Dr. Maurer, we've been paying it back ever since. All the years we've been knowing each other, over 40 years or so. What a great relationship, though. We started the National Federation of Blind Student Division at Ball State University. We got a lot of people involved. And then when I came back home, we started joining the chapters at that time, and we learned a lot about the Federation. We learned that we were a family even back then. When our state president, Dick Culley or Joe Money or some of those old-time Federationists that were our presidents back in the day came and called a meeting, we went. Whatever way we needed to get there, we got there. I remember one particular time, Dick Culley told us to come to a meeting, and we didn't have any other transportation. He said that some guys were moving down to Indianapolis in a moving van, and they would pick you up on 65, and you guys get there. We got a ride to 65, Interstate 65. Paul and I jumped in the back of this big moving truck, and off we went. We came to Indianapolis, and those were the days that we were, when they said come, we went. And we've been doing it ever since. We have also had opportunities to stay at each other's homes when we didn't have rooms at the convention. We would stay at each other's homes because we were poor. And we would all bunk up together. And we would have phone teams, Pam, and I remember some of this stuff. When we were trying to develop chapters, everybody didn't have a cell phone. We passed one phone around. Okay, next, your turn to call. Next, your turn to call. And we would pass it around, and we would eat pizza, and we would develop chapters. And it was fun because we were all together, and we all knew that we were working for the same cause and the same goal. And that goal was to build our organization because we knew the truth about blindness. And the truth about blindness is the National Federation of the Blind. That truth resonates inside of me so deeply that I live it every day simply because it has literally changed my life. It changed my life in a number of ways, knowing that I had came out of school and was looking for work and couldn't find work. Didn't realize that people didn't want to hire blind people because they didn't know what we could or could not do. So I sent out 100 resumes and I got 100 rejection letters. And so it was the opportunities that we could go and meet and get together with other blind people from around the country, and you could figure out what they were doing. What are other blind people doing around the country? And they were doing some significant things. They were doing things that were unheard of for us to participate in. I mean, people were owning horse farm, equestrian farms. They were lawyers. They were blind teachers. They were administrators. They were all kinds of things and business owners. And that's what I decided to do for my life's work, to own a business. And I got the opportunity in the Randolph Shepherd program. And I've been a blind vendor for over 35 years. And then I was sitting there one day reading the National Federation of the Blind Braille Monitor. And as I was sitting reading the National Federation of the Blind Braille Monitor, I saw opportunity, and that opportunity said, hey, how would you like to be an orientation and mobility instructor? And I was thinking, wow, blind people can't be orientation mobility instructors. And then the article jumped out to me and said, yes, they can. You can be an orientation mobility instructor and still be blind. The old antics, the blind leading the blind, is not true. You're all not going to fall in the hole. And so they talked about that, said, call me, Dr. Ruby Riles, and we'll talk about it. I picked up the phone and called Dr. Ruby Riles, and I talked to her, and she said, yes, come to Louisiana and come through and do a master's program, and we'll give you your license to teach cane travel to other blind people. Teach them how to navigate the world as a blind person, and you can get paid for it this time. And so we've been teaching each other all these years at our conventions. We called it paired walking back in the day. We would hold each other's hand, and one person would cover the left, and the other one would cover the right, and they would tell you what they're finding over there, and we'd tell them what we're finding over here, and we walk like that, and we got around perfectly fine. This time, they were giving us the opportunity to get paid for it. And so this program was very, very new and very near and dear to my heart. And I became an orientation mobility instructor, and I've been doing that for 18 years. You know, a lot of people in the National Federation of the Blind think, you know, well, I know I'm just going to join this organization and I don't have any worth in it. I'm just going to be an average member. You know what? We need you. We need you in our organizations, even if your gift is to call people and say, hey, we have a meeting on such and such day. Please come. Everybody's important in this organization, from the top to the bottom. We all work together because we all work under one cause. We are a collective group of individuals collectively focused, and our focus is to further the lives of the blind. And we do it in a number of ways. We do it in the programs that we run out of our national headquarters. We do it in the things that we do for blind children, the Parents of Blind Children's Division. We have a division for everything. Our history has been great, and it will continue. Our history will continue. In the history of the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana, I started out as a chapter president. And then I worked my way up to be on the state board of directors. And then from the state board of directors as a vice president of this organization on the chapter and state level. And then from there to become president in 1996. And everything that I have learned, I have put back into this organization because I learned from all of you, from all of our national leaders, and we will roll up our sleeves together and get the work done that we need to get done in this organization. We'll do it together. It's because I believe in it. And Joanne Wilson once told me that if you believe in something so strongly, then you become that you believe in. And you become so entrenched in what you believe in that it resonates from you. I believe in this organization that it helps change lives, from kids to grown-ups to adults, and I believe that we can help change those lives. You don't have to worry about whether or not you're the president. You don't have to worry whether or not you're on the state board. Name recognition is fine for what it's worth, but it's not worth a whole lot if you're not doing a lot. You have to work in this organization. Your worth will be known that way. Rolling up your sleeves and helping getting the things done that we need done in this organization. Because as you all see and have heard all this weekend, there's still a lot to fight for and a lot of things that we need to advocate for legislatively, educationally, and just for the rights that to show that blind people have capacity. We have to do that, and our mission goes on. It is not done. Somebody asked me one time, when is the mission of the National Federation is going to be done? When are you going to be able to work yourselves out of a job? We're probably never going to be able to work ourselves. As long as we have attitudinal barriers to overcome, as long as we have misconceptions and misperceptions about blindness and blind people, our work will never be done. Lastly, is that this organization has been a stepping stone to my success in life, and I would not have been where I am today without it. Again, I told you I knew nothing about blindness or blind people, but it has given me the opportunity to have respect for myself. It has given me the opportunity to change a lot of lives, I hope, for the better. It has given me the opportunity to meet all of you all from around the country and from around our state and from in our own neighborhoods. Gene and I have been married over 31 years. And the organization that we belong to, we both love, and we participate in it every day. And we have had an opportunity to travel. I had planned on going into refrigeration and air conditioning business. I didn't think a blind person could do it, so I didn't choose that field. And then I found out later that blind people were working on small engines all the time. Dr. Malware was talking about it earlier, how he built engines and built cars. That was one of his first jobs. You know, but you can't know what you don't know. So what we need to know and what others need to know is that the National Federation of the Blind is here for them. The same olive branch that was extended to me and you all, we need to extend everywhere to others. We need to do that and build our organization in the state of Indiana, that we build it to full capacity and that we do the work that we need done here in the state of Indiana and around the world. And I ask you to join me because I'm going to stay around a while longer in order to help continue to build our organization. This is my pledge to you. This is my report from the National Federation of the Blind of the state of Indiana.